And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night prayer night, and also Bible teaching. Let's see if Pastor Fred is here. Yes, he is. Pastor Fred is here. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. You are sounding better.
Yes,
your
much
voice
better.
Is better than from last week.
Yeah. As the day goes on, I'm getting better and better. So, yes.
Praise God.
So we were a little concerned about all the fire there on Long Island. And
it was about a mile and a half from us. Up on the way to 27 past the airport there on that road. It came up to that road.
Okay.
So praise God, we could smell it, but we didn't have the winds died down too. That was good because it could have. It's very dry and there's awful lot that could burn here. So the Lord was good.
I remember it must have been about 20 years ago there was a big fire there on Long Island.
Yeah, 95, I think it was, 95, 96.
Yeah. That was probably the biggest one that I remember, you know, all the years I lived there and all. That one in 95, 96, that was huge.
Yeah, that was all the pines, the pine barrens.
Yeah.
And it's the same dry right now here in this area. So we think that they were started by human beings. Of course, there were four of them started at different places.
A little bit of arson there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had a bomb scare in three or four schools here. So also on that same week.
Right. Anything else? How's church?
Doing fine. The Lord's good. We have no, had a men's meeting on Saturday, which was attended well, and the Lord blessed us.
Okay. Well, what do you have in store for us tonight?
Well, it's something different. And I was reading in the scriptures, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and where we believe in our heart, and I'll read it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, confessing with your mouth is most important. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe that in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. two very important things in the Christian life, in the Christian. Now, the thing that bothers me is that very few believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Why do I say that? You have, and we're just going to study what the Sadducees were all about, because they held power in the time that Jesus, they held the power of the Sanhedrin, they held the highest positions in the temple, and they combined with the Pharisees to kill Jesus in the end. But they were a sect that just did not believe in anything to do with the divinity, the afterlife, and the supernatural. And I was reading in, let me see if I get what book it was, reading in Numbers 14, where, and what I'm focusing on is us believing to the fullest. Many believe that the Lord Jesus lived and that he died, but being raised from the dead implies so much more. It involves the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. It involves our eternal life, believing in immortality. It affects our belief in the supernatural in this life and in the life to come. And of course, the Sadducees had nothing to do with that. And what bothers me is that so much preaching today is on the emotional level. It's not on a spiritual level. And folk love to hear stories of Jesus and the emotional things that are involved, but very few will go along with the supernatural and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we have to believe in our heart. It's basic. And I was reading in Numbers 14 how God's people, chosen people now, chosen people to go into a promised land. We are, in our time, the elect who have been chosen to go into the promised land, and that is into eternity. And when you, after having seen so much that these people had seen of coming out of Egypt, all the 10 judgments on Egypt, coming through the water, through the Red Sea, on dry land, seeing the army destroyed, having manna from heaven, having a fire at nighttime and a cloud during the day, having been told, and having seen so many miracles and having seen so much of the Lord. When they were to go into the promised land, they weren't focused on it. They were focused on their own self and their own things. And when the spies came back, the 10 spies who came back and discouraged everybody about the promised land. And this is most important for a Christian today, to understand that we have a promised land and eternal life that we have to go to. And we should focus our life on that and not on the land that we're in. But these poor folk, let me read it. When they and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Aaron and Moses, and the whole congregation said, now you're talking about some people who've been promised a land, a promised land. They've seen all the miracles. They don't believe in them, obviously, by this at this point. They don't understand that God has a plan for them. And the plan that he has for them only elicits from them their own self. They cry, they weep, they murmur, and then they say something like this. They say, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that God, or that we would have died in the wilderness. And you know the story. The Lord came down and said, you know, this rebellious people spoke to Moses and said, let's get rid of them. I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses falls on his face and turns around and speaks to God in a very bold way, even though he was a meek man. But they did. They had called upon themselves the death sentence. Now, God did not destroy them at that moment, but he did the next 40 years. Not one of those people who murmured above the age of 20, who murmured, went to the promised land. So what they did, basically, what we as Christians are not teaching our people, quit the murmuring, quit the crying, and quit the weeping and about your situation. Quit questioning God in your situation. Quit allowing this doctrine of God can't handle me in your situation. And then they sing the song, "This land is my land. This land is your land." They're not thinking about the land that God has promised them. And Christians today, very few are longing for heaven, for the eternal life. So that's the reason. Romans 10, 9 and 10, believe in your heart. And believe in the Lord, confess the Lord with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, one of the top enemies of the Lord at that time, and this is an enemy, this idea that there is no afterlife, that there is no resurrection. The Sadducees brought that out. And some people believe that they came from, they call themselves Zadokites. And they believe that they were, and I don't have proof for this, that they came from David's priest, Zadok. In 1 Kings 1, 32 to 45. But they say that they called themselves Zadokites. And their belief, Sadducees now, their belief was rejection of divinity and the afterlife and the supernatural. They rejected the rest of the books of the Old Testament other than Moses' five books. That's all that they would accept. They denied spiritual, boy, I wish I could see better. They denied spiritual acts, angels. They denied the spiritual. They denied angels, and then they denied immortality. And they believed in the, and listen to this one, this is political today. They believed in the absolute moral freedom of man. So that's where these Sadducees, they also reigned from with great power and authority from 200 BC to 70 AD. And some say they disappeared. I don't think they have. If you look at people today, the belief system that they had, a lot of people don't accept the whole Bible. Some people just like to read the New Testament. Others have their things. Instead of taking scriptures, the whole of scriptures for what they are, too many Christians just, you know, pick the passages that they like. And that's not a good thing. Very few are really enamored with this promised afterlife, the eternal life that we've been given, mainly because I don't think in their heart they believe that Jesus was raised from the dead or confess it sufficiently enough for themselves. Today, there's so much emotional teaching, religious teaching, very little spiritual religious teaching. And that's what I think came through the Sadducees. So let's look at what Scripture said in the New Testament. We first meet them when John the Baptist was preaching in 3:7 of Matthew, I believe it is, Matthew 3:7. It was a radical nationalistic sect who denied the supernatural, angels, demons, and resurrection. And the thing that jumped out at me as I was studying this was the number of times it made the point over and over and over again, and it's repeated in the three Gospels, that they were denied the resurrection. They denied the resurrection. They denied the resurrection. You get that again and again and again. And if you just follow that through, you say to yourself, boy, these people denied the resurrection. Matthew 3:7. What does John the Baptist say? He said, but when he saw them, when he went out to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So that's where we meet them one of the first times. And then we meet them in Mark, and we meet them in Matthew 22:23-33. All right, I'm going to get in the light so I can read. The same day came to him Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. You know, it constantly will remind you of this fact that they say there's no resurrection. The scripture wants you to know without a doubt that these people say that there is no resurrection. And asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife. And you know the story. And they're asking him, trying to trick him into some kind of answer, understanding now that these people only read the Torah, the five books of Moses, the Sadducees. That's all they hold to. That's the only one that they respect and venerate. And so you have this woman goes through seven marriages, because in the Old Testament it was the keeping children for somebody who's died. I won't go into that law. But Jesus answers them. Therefore, they ask the question, in the resurrection, these people who don't believe the resurrection now are saying, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 29, you err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's the answer, folks. If you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you believe in the full power of God, in the supernatural, in all the things that he does today, in his ability to heal, to bring miracles, and to save people from sin, bring people from darkness into eternal life. All that is supernatural. And so he says, you err. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are they given marriage. But as teaching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken of you, of God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard it, they were astonished at his doctrine. But what is the Lord Jesus teaching here? He goes into the five books of Moses, quotes from there about Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, was it? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and says, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. What's he teaching them there in that statement? Jesus claimed that these three men were still alive hundreds of years after their death. So he believed, and they said, my eyes are just not picking this up. I got to get. He's refuting their doctrine, telling them of the ignorance of scriptures. Jesus was teaching them the immortality of the soul as he spoke to them. They're trying to come to him and ask him a question about the resurrection, which they don't believe in anyway. And a lot of Christians, unfortunately, today too, ask questions that they don't need to ask if they believe in the resurrection and in their heart and in truth, in the power of God for resurrection. You see, their whole religious system was in danger of collapse over the resurrection. The apostles' theme was resurrection. I wanted to go to those scriptures. So he's warning them. Jesus himself warns in Matthew 16, I'll read this. Remember when they're on the boat after he's fed the 5,000, and he tells them that they think that he's talking to them about bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And Jesus is not talking about that. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spoke not to you concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So Jesus warned them about this sect, which had power at that time, during Jesus' day. And so they were the actual enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated Christianity. They hated the Lord Jesus, obviously, because they desired to kill him after a long while. Let's go to Acts 4, 1 to 3. Acts 4, 1 to 3. Then they spake unto the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, and they came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You see how important the resurrection from the dead is. I'm very concerned that we only emphasize it and make it a big deal in Easter. But this resurrection from the dead was the constant theme, and it's such an important theme for the Christian to own up to and to live. And so in Acts 4, 1 to 3, let me read the rest of it. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold after the next, if you only knew how hard it is for me to read this, because this particular page, I got to get another Bible. This particular page has fallen out of the Bible. It's all worn out.
Give me the scriptures, Pastor Fred, give me the scriptures and I'll read them.
And they laid hands on them. All right, I will. And I laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Let's go to... So because of the opponents of the gospel, their whole religious system is about to be destroyed. And so we have in Acts 5, I believe it is, 1 and 17. You want to read that? Acts 5, 17. Then the high priest rose up, and they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So what you have here, the sect of the Sadducees were filled with indignation. They put the apostles in prison, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and said, go back to the temple tomorrow and preach these words. And here's a beautiful sermon. Let me tell you what the angel told him to say. Go stand. There's a 5-point sermon here. Very good. Go stand. Speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Amazing. That's what the angel told these folk who were had been put in prison. Told them, go back to the temple and say the same story again. Tell them about the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus. And there is Acts 23:6-8. Paul himself uses an argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees about Christianity in order to get out of a problem there that he was brought and was about to be arrested and torn apart. The whole Christian religion is based around Christ Jesus and his bodily resurrection. Without faith in both the Lord Jesus and in the bodily resurrection, we have nothing. But it's very easy for those who just hear emotional religious sermons and those who do not, and who those who only feed 1 hour a Sunday and don't touch the word for the rest of the week. If they don't feed on the word, they're not ready. They're not understanding that they get enough through a sermon, through church, 1 hour a Sunday. There's much more to this life than that. There is this looking forward to a promised land that he's given to us in eternal life. He's given to us so much. And that's why it is so important for us to understand the opposition that came to the disciples and why Jesus, and why every time you read about the Sadducees, generally it says they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. Again, they don't believe in the resurrection. It was emphasized by Scripture for a reason, because we have to believe in the resurrection in such a way that it's not just one Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. It's every day is Resurrection Day for the Christian. And there should be this looking forward to. But if out of our mouth comes what came out of the folk in Numbers, murmuring, crying, weeping, oh, if only we had died in Egypt, and if only we had died in the wilderness. And they did, because they spoke that, and the Lord said, I'm going to give you what comes out of your mouth. That's why it says in Romans 10:9-10, out of the mouth we believe that Christ rose from the dead. Let's read it again, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the fundamental truth that we need to preach, and this is the reality, the spiritual reality of what we need to grasp hold of, and that is the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ for this life and for the next life, and not to murmur, not to let our mouth murmur or let our eyes cry and ask questions as to why things are so bad or why are we going through these troubles. The Lord's testing people. The Lord tests us, and he tests every one of us. We all go through these difficulties, and I'm not unfeeling about it, but I know that that idea of murmuring and saying things with your mouth and questioning God when he has given to us an amazing life that's coming up, a promised land. He's chosen us for his to be with him. And it's so amazing that it's so simple, but it is the heart of so many who have accepted the fact that Jesus is alive and lives, but have not taken up on the resurrection power, on the fact that in their heart they believe without a doubt, and that they don't have to question him. They don't have to murmur when things go wrong. It's an act of faith, and that what comes out of our mouth should be this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that's what we are called to do day in, day out, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in this book that God has given to us, there are these people who came against him, who were constantly described as being, they didn't believe in the resurrection, they didn't believe in the resurrection, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And believing in the resurrection is perhaps the life of Jesus, and then the resurrection is perhaps the most fundamental thing that we have. And now I'm going to finish off with 1 Corinthians 15. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given. And then he talks about upon the, is it 1 Corinthians that I'm reading or not? Let me just make sure. I believe it is. I believe 1 Corinthians 15. It's got to be. No, I'm reading 16. No wonder. I'm reading 16. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherefore in wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and this his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. Now, if we preach that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, what he's writing this to the Corinthians, and they were telling us that the Sadducees, these people who didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, historically, they say in some of the commentaries that the Sadducee sect die at 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed? I don't think so. I don't think so. But the system, the thought about resurrection, I'll agree with. It's not believed today as it should be, as it ought to be. We celebrate it on a one day in a month of April or May, April, but it should be celebrated every day as you see the emphasis that Jesus placed upon it, especially those who didn't believe in it. And now you have here Paul talking about it in verse 13 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. Yea, and we have found, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, when he raised not up, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Let me read it again. Yea, verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Making the argument here. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He says, if you just believe that Christ lived, you just, it's not, doesn't do it. But now, if Christ be risen, is risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. And then it reads, goes, then come at the end. I was just teaching today, this time, on the Sadducees. And as you go through the New Testament, all the time, they're described as they didn't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. When we are fundamentally raised from the dead to believe spiritually, to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that we were raised from the dead, and we have a supernatural afterlife and a supernatural present life. And our joy, our desire, our longing is to be with him in the promised land that he's promised to us. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for showing us these enemies of yours. Thank you, Lord, for helping us understand the importance of believing in my heart, believing in your heart, believing in our heart that Christ raised Jesus from the dead. It's the two most basic fundamental beliefs that we have, and it is our supernatural power, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' precious name, I say, amen.
Amen, Pastor Fred. Amen. Wonderful on the resurrection power. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for this. Thank you. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, it's something that it's really, you've touched upon something that's lacking in the American church in a great, in great, I mean, just in huge numbers, is the like supernatural element that we should move in here. You know what I mean, Pastor Fred?
Yes, yes. That's what I got from the Sadducees. The more I looked into them and the way they totally negated anything to do with the supernatural. And Jesus was, they were, you know, they were the fundamental enemy for all the apostles during their lifetime, you know, from the time Jesus went back and then while they were doing their ministry. They were the ones that were really against them because of the resurrection.
Yeah, and Christ rose from the dead, like right in their midst.
Yeah, yeah. It happened. It happened in on their watch.
Yes, yes. So it's ironic, isn't it, when you stop and think of it? The very thing that they were against happened kind of right in their faces.
Well, did you know that they only really held to the first five books of Moses?
There are sects today that only hold to the first five books, Pastor Fred.
So there are Sadducees today?
Yes, I meant to tell you that. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So that's amazing. But the church, the Christian church, needs to understand why the Sadducees were always described as such. I mean, the Pharisees, you know, they weren't described as such, but the Sadducees, and that was their base, and that was the one thing that they were going to come against the Lord Jesus for. No such thing as resurrection.
Right.
And I don't know about the five churches, the seven churches in Revelation. Do they mention anything about that? Any of the churches didn't believe in his resurrection? I have to look at that.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. But I can remember when I was engaging the rabbis and the anti-missionaries, they were very, what would be the word? They were very adamant that they are the modern-day Pharisees, that they are the direct descendants of the Pharisees.
Okay.
Not the Sadducees, but the Pharisees.
The Pharisees at least accepted the scriptures and the oral law and other things, but that's about the best you could say about them.
Yeah, and they use the same arguments today that were used 2,000 years ago against the Lord. These modern-day Pharisees used, they believed exactly the same.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know that. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Pastor Fred. Let's see if, hang on here for a moment. And, is this Gigi and Randy?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. I thought maybe you might have a comment or question for Pastor Fred.
I do. First of all, I want to praise God because Randy and I and somebody else, I can't remember, three of us were praying for your safety and it was Kathy. We are praying for the safety of your church and your home and the people that go to your church. And so that's a big praise.
Thank you so much.
Amen. That was very, very good. I'm actually going to go back and listen to this again. It's amazing. That was really insightful to be talking about this. And you're absolutely right. I can't remember after all these years, other than Resurrection Sunday, people talking about the resurrection. Honestly, I can't. So
to me,
appreciate it very much. Thank you so much, Pastor Fred.
Well, praise God. Praise God.
Okay. All right, Pastor Fred, let's have some prayer for you.
Thank you.
And Father, we thank you for Pastor Fred. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that he teaches. He spends time, Lord, a lot of time studying your Word, and it really pays off. We thank you for it. Lord, we ask Now, Pastor Fred, did you preach this on Sunday?
No, not yet, no.
Okay. Yeah, and I pray that when he does preach, it will have a huge impact, Lord, and that we will live in the resurrection power, your supernatural power, the resurrection power, Lord. So bless the church and everyone that's in it. Bless the meetings. You have a Wednesday night and Thursday night meeting, right, Pastor Fred?
A Thursday night, 3 hours, Bible study and prayer. The other church has a Wednesday night at my church.
Yep. Oh, okay. All right. So we're asking that Thursday be a great, great night in Bible study and prayer. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing there with Pastor Fred. Bless his finances. Bless his whole family, Lord. We think of Katie and the healing power that she needs, Lord, in her colon. Bless her, Lord. And Fred, what's the update on
Nate?
Nate, yeah.
Nate, he's stable. He's stable at this point, yeah.
Good.
He's gone back to work, but he's been given easy work.
Well, Lord, thank you for the good report. It's a good report from Nate. We thank you for that.
Yeah.
And, Lord, we're asking for the strengthening of Katie now. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. Did you receive something from the church at all or not?
I think I did, Fred.
Yeah, you would have. You should have.
Yeah.
That's okay. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you.
Yes, I think I did, Pastor Fred.
Uh-huh. All righty.
Now, this Sunday, I'm preaching in Nigeria. But things are really filling up, Fred. You may want to keep this in prayer. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'll be preaching in Kenya, and then Sunday also in Nigeria. Then this Wednesday will be Pakistan, and then I'll be they're asking me, there's a group here that kind of interacts a lot with Jews, and I had spoken at this church years and years and years ago. Well, maybe 25 years ago when I first came into this area, the pastor and his wife, they really liked me. And every time I came back, I would preach. And then when they heard I was moving here, they called me and said, make sure you come and speak. But here's the thing. Both of them got COVID and passed away, Fred. Isn't that sad?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So their son, who I'd never met, he's got a PhD in not Hebrew, but I guess Aramaic. It's kind of strange. But he asked me to come and speak, which I did. And then he called me the other day. I'm not going to say he was frantic, but he said that his people were running into a lot of the anti-missionaries and they were getting tied up and it was ugly. And would I come? Because he knew I had debated Singer. So I said, yeah. So I'm going to be speaking on Psalm 110 and then Ezekiel 43 in proofs that only Jesus can be. So he was really excited. So on the 22nd, I'm going there. And then on the 28th, I'll be in Pakistan. And the 29th, I'm going to be teaching to the church. Healing the brokenhearted here. And there's all sorts of other things lining up for it. All sorts of things. So it's really becoming,
You'll be preaching 24 hours a day.
I'd love it. I'd love it if I could. I'd love it.
That's amazing. Praise God. Okay. Well, we'll keep praying, ask the Lord to give you energy.
Well, but this might be, I don't know, Fred, this might have legs in it because he wanted his church, there, the King of Glory, is he called? Anyways, he was very concerned. They were getting the wind knocked out of them by these anti-missionaries. And he said, I know you're an apologist. And you debated Tovia Singer. He said, you got to come. We need to be strengthened. So
that's beautiful.
That came out of nowhere. That just came the other day.
Oh, well, your itinerary will be packed more. It's already packed. It always is. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for all the prayer and support for it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Lord bless.
All right. God bless you. Bye now. All right. And then we have Sister Kathy here. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Good evening, Chaplain. God bless y'all.
And are you're ready for prayer now?
I can, yes, sir. Be glad to.
Watch and pray.
Well, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna have my eyes closed. So, well, Lord, thank you so much for the prayers that have been prayed already and the ministry that's gone up, and thank you for the absolute amazing appointments that Chaplain has, Lord. This is just absolutely wonderful, and it's just so amazing how you just bring it all back around, Lord. It just comes over and over of just amazing opportunities. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for the people that are being come against, Lord. That is just an assault, but they will be ready once they get tutored by Chaplain John a few times. And that is just, it's going to take on a life of itself, that's for sure. And Lord, we lift up Pastor Fred, and I do thank you that we have been able to lift up these brothers on Long Island, and that no damage has come to their property, none of the four that we are familiar with there in Long Island. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for the firefighters that are active and ready to just take on hell with a water pistol, it seems like, Lord, as has been said. But thank you that it is killing the ticks and the insects that are ravaging in that area. And Lord, we do pray for America. We pray for Trump. We pray for Vance. We pray for Johnson and all of the cabinet. We pray for Tom Holman. We pray for all of the people, Lord, that have got a position. And Lord, they are just destroying Elon Musk's showrooms, his cars, his charging stations. And Lord, this is just deplorable. It is wrong in every way possible. And I pray, God, that he will not suffer loss financially himself, and that it will be replaced and repaid. So thank you for that. We pray for Israel. And Lord, this 5 to 10 year ceasefire truce thing, that's very interesting. But Lord, that's not going to hold. It's not going to be what has to happen, because there has to be annihilation. And we pray for the people, Lord, that are in Syria that are perpetrating a genocide, Lord, yet again. And we just pray for those people that have given their lives for the gospel, the Christians that they have just recently today have attacked. And I just pray, God, I just pray for the body of Christ. I thank you for the cause of Christ. I thank you that you did the work. You finished the job. You said you came, and you did. And thank you that you're coming again. And Lord, I pray for everyone in Chaplain John's ministry. I pray for X and and also Elon had been sabotaged with his network, and it's got an IP address of Ukraine. So that's not necessarily conclusive, but these people are just coming against it. But what one person said was that this is going to cause more than likely things to be stepped up about how it will be stop gaps to where these attacks will not be, it will not be able to hinder and hamper the internet. So thank you that there will be, out of this terrible disaster, there will come circumstances that will help prevent attacks and those sort of things to be so destructive. They will be able to circumvent those attacks from being from accomplishing a whole lot. So that will be wonderful, God. And these people are so brilliant that are fighting this attack, Lord. And so we just know that they're on the job. And Lord, there's a million things to pray for and intercede for. And we just thank you, Father, that as Purim comes, Lord, as Passover comes, Lord, we're just going to see the glory of the Lord excel to the heights that we've never seen before. And Father, again, I pray for Chaplain John and Nancy and his entire family, the absolute helping them get what they need physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and financially. And do that for Pastor Fred, too, and for his family. Again, thank you for everybody in Abba, Father, and we just give you glory because you are the one true God, the living God, the great I Am, Alpha and Omega. You are absolutely perfect. And you love us, and you proved it by dying on the cross for us, and God proved it by sending you to do that. So, Lord, we lift you up, and you said, if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. Do that now, Lord. Save the world from just all forms of satanic, demonic attacks. And we just love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now let's see here. We will go for Sister Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Oh, hello. Hello. You know, it is an awesome time, but it's also a very sobering time. And so, Father God, I'm just going to say thank you so much for the ministry that takes place through this ministry. And I pray for Pastor Fred that they're going to be someone that rise up from those who are listening to him and in his congregation, that get your vision for them. Get your calling on their life and take off and start touching lots of lives, Father God. And that Pastor Fred gets to see that, to witness that, to celebrate that as you make that way possible to someone who has been studying from him, taking seriously what he hears, going to the Word, going to you, and seeking to know exactly what you want him to do, or she, what you want her to do, Father God. And, I mean, it's like all it takes is one to catch the vision within all of this beautiful teaching that he's giving faithfully. And I pray, Father God, once one takes off, there'll be another. And that Pastor Fred will at least have learned of the one, if not many more, that out of what you have given him to teach, others have gone into your Word and gotten from you exactly what you personally have for them to do as well. We're praying that for Chaplain John's group as well, that that's what we're doing, that we're going to your word after hearing, as questions come up, seeking out answers. And you just gave me a question to go to the word and look for the answer, and I will be doing that. And if I still don't find the answer, I may ask him another night, but not tonight. I much prefer first, Father, looking to your Holy Spirit to bring me to that place of confirmation of, you know, one scripture confirming another scripture, because that's a discipline and it's done with love and trust. And Father, we, each one of us, can walk with you in such ways as these, and as Pastor Fred has been teaching tonight. We just give you so much thanks that you are equipping your people. We know that if you're doing it here, you're doing it elsewhere. We know that from the brochures and books that you're doing it out in the field because of how many people are wanting them, demanding them, because there's so many who have broken hearts that need to be healed, so many who want to come to know you. And so I do pray, Father God, that where there is the call for these, that you'll provide the funds that it takes and the instructions. Maybe there'll be a volunteer printer that's going to be able to do a job overseas, so no shipping has to be involved, and for good finance, good price, Father God, and good job. So I pray that the doors be open so that they will find a way, because you're making a way for those needs that are being expressed to be met in Jesus' name. And I do pray, Father God, for Pastor Dove also, for the provision. The many people that listen to his programs, and we hear about it here, Father God. So I pray that just the right people who have the funds to give, you'll speak and they'll hear you, Father God, and the funds will be provided. I know sometimes they come through right at the last minute, and that's unnerving, and yet we're all learning how to just trust that you are going to make a way right on time. So, and I thank you for all the healing that you're doing for Sharon and Nancy and John, myself, Father God, and Larry and Steve. And Kathy's throat sounds very clear. Are you much better, Kathy? She's not here. Okay. Anyway, Father God, you do a wonderful job and you love your people. And I thank you so much for that. Be glorified this weekend through Chaplain John, Father God. I pray that during this week, all the wrinkles from the past just are discovered to be gone with this new application, and that it be a wonderful time of speaking to the people over there in Kenya and wherever it is, because I saw there was going to be maybe three different places. I don't know. But anyway, just be with him and the people who are listening, and anoint his words and open hearts. And I pray there be many that come to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Paula Jean. And then we have Sister Sharon here. Hello, Sharon. How was your day?
Yeah. Pretty good. It's calm. It's nothing special. But I'm just glad to be able to be here to hear the prayer and hear Pastor Fred. And I thought that was very interesting teaching about people not going to, you know, as far as to believing that Christ was raised from the dead and descended back to heaven. And stuff, and it's kind of like the main thing that I think that we all should be looking for and praying about and stuff. And when he kind of struck a note when he was talking about that, Zion never imagined that that is not believed by so many people and stuff. So I think we have a whole lot more to pray about. We have a lot more people to pray for, and we just don't have the time to let this go. We need to address it. So, dear Father God, I come before you, and with the new knowledge I had that people didn't really believe in the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus to heaven and stuff, and they just kind of like let it slide by. And I just, it's just so hard for me to believe that, dear Father God. I never even thought of it, but when Pastor Fred brought this up tonight, it just like, wow. I mean, it was like right in my faith and hopefully in a lot of other people's faces. And dear Father God, I just want to pray for strength and just some downtime for Chaplain John while he's preparing to do all this teaching and preaching these next few weeks. It sounds like he is going to be very, very busy. And I'm going to enjoy being able to listen to his sermons and teachings and preaching all over the world, too, if it's allowed. I'm just going to really, really enjoy it. But I just want to pray that he gets the rest that he needs while he's studying and preparing. And also, I'm going to pray for Nancy. I pray that she continues to get well. And I want to pray that if the boys have all gone, that they're all back where they're supposed to be safely. And I just am so thankful to hear that Captain John had a weekend with his boys and stuff. And that is always so, so refreshing and everything. So I just thank you, dear Father God, that we have families that we can care about and they can care about us. And we can talk to them about you and they can talk to us about you and stuff. And I am just so thankful for Abba Father International and all that Chaplain John does and for all the other preachers and teachers that do come to be part of this show. And I pray for Pastor Doe. I pray that he is getting to feel better. I'm so glad that Paula Jean's feeling better. And Kathy, too. And we just need to just pray for one another, hold each other up, and just pray that everybody is able to do the best job that they can do. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that I can be part of the activity to get people to know you. It just does my heart good. And I do love you, dear Father God. And I love the fact that you died for us. You were buried and you arose and then you went to heaven. Because that's exactly what happened. And that's what we have to believe. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen, Sister Sharon. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And then we have Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. Okay, I'll go ahead and pray.
All right.
Okay. Father, I thank you for today, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, for all that you have given to me. You are worthy to be praised, Father. And I give you thanks for sending your Son to die for my sins on the cross, that I may have an abundant life. Father, I pray, I give you thanks, Father, that you have given America President Trump. I pray that you would guide and direct President Trump. And I pray, Father, that President Trump will go to you for his strength. And that some way, somehow you open up his eyes to see that he stands, Father, because of you. And I pray, Father, that you will put a hedge of protection and that you would protect President Trump, J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, and President Trump's cabinet from the evil men and women of this world that wants to do them harm. And I pray, Father, for the salvation of J.D. Vance and his wife and Elon Musk, Father. Soften their hearts, Father, to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray, Father, for America. I thank you for America, Father, for you have made us a great country. But yet, Father, we are a sinful country. And I pray for forgiveness and in healing of America. I pray also for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father, from the east to the west coast, from the north to the south coast, Father. And I also pray for Israel, Father. I pray for peace for Israel and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And I pray for the Christian Jews that live in Israel, Father, that they will love you and your Son with all their whole heart, soul, and mind. And I ask, Father, that you will protect the IDF, these young boys and young women that goes down, that goes and fight for their country. And I pray, Father, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son before it's too late. And also, Father, I pray that you will strengthen Netanyahu. I ask for the saving knowledge that Netanyahu and his wife will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father, and strengthen, guide and direct, comfort and encourage both him and his wife, Father. And Father, I also pray for Chaplain John. I pray that you will guide and direct Chaplain John in all that he teaches and what he writes.
Thank you.
And I also pray for this Sunday, Father, that you will anoint what he teaches this Sunday and that you just strengthen his body, Father, and strengthen his mind. And I pray, Father, and I give you thanks, Father, for how you have healed Nancy. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to heal Nancy. And bless Chaplain John's finances and all those brochures, Father, that have been printed out. I pray that you would anoint each and every brochure and that the receiver of those brochures, that you would convict their hearts and that their hearts, that you will change it, that they will come to you, Father, has their Savior, and that they will also, that you would also heal any broken hearts, Father, that receive these brochures, all of them, Father. And I pray for the Our Father Fellowship churches, that you would bless the pastors, guide and direct them, strengthen them, and comfort them, Father. And I also ask, Father, that you will bless the churches and that you would protect the churches, Father, and the members from anyone that wants to do them harm that is in this fellowship, Father. And Father, let me pray, Father. I also pray for these in this fellowship, these churches, that you would provide water, food, and housing to these poor people, Father, that are in this Abba Father Fellowship. And also bless Pastor Fred, Father. Strengthen him, encourage his heart, and comfort him, Father. And bless his church, Father. And that it would be a lighthouse to the community that it is in. And also, Father, I pray for Katie. I pray for the saving, not saving arms. I pray for the healing of Katie, Father. Strengthen her heart, Father, and encourage her during this difficult time. And for Nate, Father, I pray that you would continue to heal him, Father, and that he and that you would strengthen his body and strengthen his heart. And I pray, Father, for everyone that is in the Uber, online in Uber. And I pray for everyone that's in X, Facebook, and in Rumble, that you will encourage, strengthen all of us, Father. And that I pray that if anybody that is listening now that is lukewarm towards you, Father, I pray that you'll convict their hearts and that they will stand for you, Father, and your Son. And I strengthen, encourage every one of us, Father, and if anyone has a broken heart, Father, that you would heal their hearts, Father.
Amen.
By praying all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Now we have Gigi and Randy.
Okay. Everybody, they covered so many things. So I praise God for that. I don't have to pray for that. But there was so much that you said you were going to do. I need a reminder so that I can pray.
Well,
so I can pray
this,
for it.
This Saturday, this Friday, this Wednesday, I'll be teaching on Revelation, and then I'm all confused here. Hold on for a second, please. Yeah, I didn't log this in. This Friday, I'm preaching in Kenya. Saturday, I'm preaching in Kenya. Then Sunday is Nigeria and Kenya. Okay?
Oh, yes. So are you preaching at Pastor Zephaniah's church or a different location?
We're preaching out in the streets twice, and then on Sunday, the church.
Okay, so how are things going for him?
Very good. They've gotten over, they've lost a lot of equipment, so that's not good. But the people are hungry. There's a lot of excitement about the event, this three-day event. And Wednesday, I'm preaching in Pakistan.
Okay. Then, this Wednesday.
Right. And then
okay,
Friday.
So this Wednesday, you're preaching in Pakistan. And then Wednesday night, you're teaching at the church.
Right.
And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
Kenya.
You're preaching in
Kenya.
In Kenya.
And then
which
Sunday I'm preaching in Nigeria also.
Okay. How is Pastor Abel doing?
Good. He's doing real good. I was talking to him today.
Good.
I was talking to him today.
Great. Because there's been a lot of turmoil going on. I don't know where he is.
North
in
of
Nigeria.
Him. North of him.
Oh, north of him. Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty well close to the Ivory Coast. I think that's the neighboring country and the ocean. And the trouble is north of him. I don't know what country is north of him, but it's north of him. So occasionally they've had trouble in his area. And at one time they were looking for him. But so he's doing fine, and the church is doing fine.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. So anyway, in Kenya, though, they have the facility for you to teach?
In Kenya?
Yeah, with Pastor Zephaniah.
Yes. Yeah, they don't have the high quality that we had before.
Okay, so. But I'm thrilled that they can, you know, that they can receive your teaching. That's wonderful. Okay, I will go ahead and teach,
okay.
And pray.
All right.
I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. I'm a little tired. Okay. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you and we bless your holy name. And we are so thankful and grateful that indeed we have a Savior that came to earth, willingly came to earth, and took upon himself, yourself, Lord, all of the sins and all of the curses and the diseases and everything that is afflicting mankind. And you took our place. So there was a great exchange that was made. And we thank you that you have called each one of us to yourself. We thank you that even if you had done all of this, but you did not, if your Father had not, the Holy Spirit had not resurrected you from the dead, we would be believing in something that would have no future and no hope. And so we thank you that you have called each one of us to yourself and that we can rejoice that we have a future and a hope. We thank you for all the teaching that we have gotten from John and from Pastor Fred, who encourage us to keep looking at the Word, looking at you, and looking at our future. And we do have a future and a hope. So we're extremely grateful, Lord. And I want to pray over John and over all these venues that he's going to be teaching. So it would be at the church, at Pastor Abel's, at Pastor Jamil's, and at Pastor Zephaniah's. And we thank you that all of these places that it is that John is able to preach. He is able to reach out to them, and they are able to receive the message. So we are asking you, first of all, to put a hedge of protection around each one of these pastors. And there would be no evil thing come nigh any of them and their churches and all the people that are going to be coming, Lord. And we pray for an outpouring over each and every location and pastor and church and all the individuals, Lord, that there would be a great outpouring. They would be encouraged and healed and delivered and have their broken hearts healed, Lord, and that this would make a big difference to every single one of them. And I also want to continue to pray for Evangelist John and his family, that you would deliver them from all the fear and trauma and all the unknown things that happened, and they didn't know what was going on. Even Evangelist John didn't really know what was going on or whether he would get out of captivity alive. So we pray that you would continue to heal and deliver them and encourage them. And I'm praying that all of the people that are coming to these meetings, that we want to thank you for what happened with Pastor Jamil, with these ladies that came and came to Christ. And we pray that there would be these kinds of unusual events where you're drawing people to yourself in ways that we couldn't imagine or even pray. And so we pray, as Rita prayed, that every piece of brochure, everything that is preached that that would all be blessed and be multiplied. Just like when you broke bread and it fed the 5,000. So we're asking for a huge harvest, Lord. And we also want to pray over Pastor Fred. Thank you so much that they were not harmed in any way. I'm asking you, Lord, that there's so much wickedness going on in not just around the world, but here, Lord. And so we pray for protection over all the people in this new government that we have. And we pray protection, especially over Elon Musk. Now they're trying to ruin his business, and he's had death threats and even death attempts against him. And so we pray, Lord, we pray that you bless him, because he recognized early on what should be done. So we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. And we're praying over President Trump and Vance. Apparently the Secret Service have not had enough security around him, and protesters have gotten a little close. So we're asking you, Lord, that you would protect each and every person. We thank you for all of the things that are being exposed. There were several things today that came out that are just incredulous, just amazingly ridiculous. So we thank you, and we're asking you to protect all these people that are working on revealing all of the scams and evil. And we thank you for those people that Trump put as his advisors and leaders, Lord, and empower them to overcome evil, and that you would protect each and every one of them. And we know that there's things going on in D.C. that are crazy. So we pray against any and all evil things. Please surround all these people that are trying to do the right thing or investigating. Please watch over them, Lord. And I just want to pray over each and every one of us. I want to pray over Sharon, that you would continue to heal Sharon and deliver her from the spirit of infirmity, and that you would bless her, Lord. We've been praying a long time, and you really delivered her out of darkness and death and destruction. But we'd like to see a complete healing for her, Lord. We love her so, and we'd love to see her well. And we pray over Bobby too, and Ariel. And please strengthen Bobby. I know it's been a lot for him. It's a lot for anyone. And so we just pray, encouragement over each and every one of us. And I pray that you would protect each one of us, keep every evil thing away from us, Lord. Warn us when we need to be warned, and that you would prosper us, and that I'm praying over everyone's family members, including mine and Randy's, family members and friends who are not saved. Some of these people we've been witnessing to for a long time. Some of the people that we know, Lord, they could be relatives or friends that used to call on your name, and somehow, some way, they're not interested anymore, or just sin has taken over in their lives. So we're asking you to have mercy on those people and draw them back to you, that they would repent, that you would convict them for their benefit. I pray that for each and every one of us. That's how we grow. When you are so kind and gentle to convict us, it's always for our benefit. Never, never are you saying that we're terrible, but you have the answer for all of these things. And we all want to grow. We want to grow closer to you, and we want to grow in maturity in Christ. Bring us people to speak to, Lord, and to witness to. Give us the words to speak and the right attitude. And I just pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. Can you see me on Rumble?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let me pray. And one thing I'd like to focus on in prayer a little is how the demand for the brochures is so powerful. I mean, in India, in Pakistan, in Kenya, no matter where, there's such a demand for them. So that leads, and I know we've kind of touched upon this, but that leads me to believe that those brochures are winning a significant amount of souls to Christ. And we even know what's going on in Cuba. Remember Sister Kathy in Cuba?
Oh, yeah, Alex. Mm-hmm.
And then Keith's friend in Turkey. He's a missionary in Turkey. And he emailed me, because Keith told him to email me, and he wanted the brochure in Turkish. And we had it translated, so I sent it to him, and I didn't hear anything more. I forgot all about it. Next thing I know, Keith tells me he's been in contact with his friend, and they've made many copies and distributed to other, like, pastors and missionaries, and it's doing quite a work in Turkey for the Lord. I mean, these things are happening. We don't even know it, folks. We have no idea.
Exactly.
So let's focus in on that right now. Because remember, this is a team effort, and especially when it comes to prayer. So Lord, you've done these incredible things with these brochures, Lord. Not so much here in America, but certainly in countries, Lord, foreign countries. It's amazing. So I'm asking, Lord, that these would circulate. They would continue to circulate, Lord. And they're done in high-quality paper that can withstand roughness, Lord. So, and I pray that they've got the attraction, the visual attraction, that people want to read it. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And we pray that multitudes of souls have come to you and will continue to come to you, Lord, through these brochures. That, Lord, we know they've won imams to you and Muslims, Lord. We know the brokenhearted one has stirred the Muslims in Pakistan. And we know what they've done in Kenya already. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for this. And I pray your continued blessing on them, Lord. I pray that they would, each brochure would be read 5, 10, 20 times, Lord. Passed along families, Lord. Passed the co-workers, neighbors, Lord. Maybe just gone door to door handing them out. But they have a life, Lord. They'll be used, passed on. Many, many, many souls coming directly to you, or you've planted seeds in them, and at a later date they come to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's amazing, even the little testimonies we get back, Lord, how you use them. It's incredible how the big picture must be incredible, Lord. Thank you. The prophetic one about Jerusalem, Lord, I knew it was going to reach the Muslims. I knew it, Lord. And it has. And I'm asking now, they're being circulated in Pakistan. And we pray the imams in Pakistan will be confronted with these, Lord, with the truth of your prophetic word. And it will break them, Lord. And that many, many Muslims and imams are going to come to you, Lord, as a result of this written word. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you now, Lord. So continue to use this ministry in many, many ways, Lord, through the spoken word, through the written word, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you now. We can't thank you enough. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right. Let's see if we can get well, maybe Paula Jean, do you have anything else that you want to pray about?
I actually do. I probably should ask you first if this is okay. Just because I've never heard it prayed in your ministry, but it's in my heart right now.
Okay.
So. And it's about hedge of protection. You know how the God in the Bible has, when a hedge of protection is needed,
yes,
he can send a whole camp of angels, or he can send one, two, or three, you know, to block an evil doer from doing the mission and possibly even bring them to their knees in fear of the Lord. And so I just would like the hedge of protection available to those who are serving this ministry as they're, you know, in the open amongst the things that took place with Zephaniah. And Jamil also was subject,
yes,
to attack. And,
yeah,
and even Bishop Reinhardt is in an area at times where great rebels are doing evil. So I'm asking, Father God, that you have ready to be dispatched angels to stop attacks that you can see on the forefront, and to humble those who are coming to do it, turn their hearts to realizing that you are the Almighty God. They are not. And it doesn't matter who they're serving. Who they're serving is not as almighty as you are. And what they're doing is not loving. And Father God, I pray that there will be conversions of some evildoers, even if it's not people that are aiming at our servants here, Father God, but out in this world, even like Elon Musk and others who are receiving threats and attacks, I pray it's time now for those hedges of protection for those who are truly trying to bring about your justice, spread the good news, and make sure that those who are broken can receive healing from Jesus. Father God, I'm asking for that extra amazing supernatural provision of protection on a major way, a way that's going to stand right up there with this great outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon the people. It's like where it calls the attention of those who need it and impacts their hearts and their minds and their actions and protects those who love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I think what your prayer was very timely, because we have been attacked, like with Evangelist John. You know, I mean, Bishop Reinhardt has been hit with rocks in his head, face, and we've had one of the bishops under him was murdered for preaching the gospel.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, and then
it is timely.
Pastor Jamil, his church was burnt down.
I know.
And, you know, and then Pastor Abel, for about 2 weeks, they were hunting him, the Muslims. They were hunting him. So in Zephaniah, there's several other things that happened in the ministry. So, yes, your prayer was, in fact, this should be, that type of prayer should be like incorporated in on a regular basis. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Is there a particular
song? Thank you, Father God.
is there a particular song you would like? Yes. Paula Jean, is there a particular song?
Yes, but I'll save it for another night because it's tucked away. I don't have it right here for me to look at and tell you.
All right.
So, all right. Yeah.
I do. I have one. I'll take her place.
All right, Sister Kathy. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. You've never played this one before. I just heard it the other day. And it's the Triumphant Quartet, I've Got Confidence.
I've Got Confidence, God's Going to See Me Through.
That's right, written by Andre Crouch.
Yes, and Tennessee Ernie Ford.
I thought about that, but he's singing with Andre Crouch, and it's good, so if you'd rather have that.
Oh, no, it's up to you. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I'd rather go with the Triumphant.
Elvis.
Yeah, I didn't like his too much. It's too.
Andre Crouch and the Disciples.
Yeah, but that's the music is too loud in those. It's hard to hear the words. So I'm going to go with the Triumphant Quartet.
I don't see it.
Well, you have to probably type it in.
I've got confidence.
If you don't see it right there. Scroll on down a little more.
God's Seeing Me Through.
Scroll on down.
Is that the one? I've Got Confidence, God's Seeing Me Through.
Yeah. Just do Tennessee Ernie Ford. And
Triumphant.
Because it's Andre and him. But there's a word that Andre says that isn't right, but he wrote the song. But he says he lost his wife, but the Triumphants say he lost his wealth.
Well, I see the Triumphant, but I don't see them with Andre Crouch together.
No, they don't. Tennessee Ernie Ford was with Andre.
So you want that group, the Triumphant Quartet?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was trying to get them all together. I misunderstood you. Well, here we go. Yes. Okay.
Well, that wasn't the one, but that is the Triumphants, and that is alive, but it just, I hope it sounded better than I heard it on my phone. But anyway, thank you so much.
All right, Sister Kathy. And then Paula Jean? Okay. Well, Sister Sharon, maybe you could close us with a prayer.
Oh, I'm sorry. This would be short. It's B.J. Thomas. I think it's 3+, maybe 4 minutes at the most.
All right. And what's the title?
It's called I Want to Be More Like Jesus.
All right. And it's who by who?
B.J. Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
What kind of man would wash men's feet, get pushed around, then turn the other cheek? I want to be more like him. Every day, in every way, so little time he took for himself, he was more concerned for everybody else. I want to be more like him. I know that I can. As tears of pain fell from his eyes, he prayed for those who had him crucified. I want to be more like him. I know that I can. Oh, I want to be more like Jesus. That's why I put my life in his hand. Oh, I want to be more like Jesus.
Wow, I haven't heard him in years and years and years. Wow, I forgot all about him, to tell you the truth. So, thank you, Paula Jean. Thank you. All right. I think we'll, Sister Sharon, do you have anything in closing for us in prayer?
Let me think. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for tonight and, well, early this morning too, but I just want to thank you that we could get together and pray and have some teaching and just a little everything tonight and music. And mostly important is that we were all together through the night and while this is all going on. And I just thank you, dear Father God, for this. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And it's just going to be another wonderful day. And I do thank you, Abba Father International, and for all that you are doing for us. And thank you, Chaplain John. And it's just a blessing. And I can't wait for some preaching and stuff tomorrow. And in your name, dear Father God, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, tomorrow I have prayer with the pastors in the morning. But I'll be back for Tuesday evening Bible teaching there. So Book of Revelation, with the Book of Revelation.
Oh.
So, but okay. Sister Sharon, do you have a treatment tomorrow?
Yes. Well, I don't know when, but you need me to try to fill in for in the morning.
Yeah, you and Sister Kathy. Yeah, you know, you usually fill in for me on Tuesday mornings. Used to be Wednesday, but it's Tuesday.
Right.
Okay. All right. God bless everybody now. And remember, Pastor Fred was talking about the resurrection and the power. And when we live looking for the blessed hope, we might not think of it, but we believe in the resurrection. That's why we live with the blessed hope. I was thinking about that. So when we say looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that means that we believe he was raised from the dead. So, all right. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.